And I was going to tell you about the word picture for Jesus. Because sometimes I think we always say Jesus Christ, you know, like it's first name and his last name. And really the word Christ is just a title. It's his name is Jesus. And his title is the Anointed One, or Christ. So I think it's, if we want to see some of the real depth of what the name Jesus means, we need to stop just putting them all together and really concentrate on what is Jesus. You know, why is that his name? And so the Hebrew name and the Aramaic name is pronounced Yeshua. So I was going to tell you the word picture. It's so cool. I won't explain all the letters or anything, but it's the power of change completely experienced. The power of change completely experienced. What Yeshua is, or the whole idea of Yeshua, the name Jesus, is as a deliverer or a savior. He has sheltered us, given us victory, preserved us. He's the one who causes the power of change to be experienced in our lives. And when we got born again, that's what happened. We got eternal life. And so there was this incredible change that happened, right? But this kind of change is supposed to be going on every single day. And that's why when you say he's our savior, that's what it means. He's our deliverer. So the very first place, somebody go look up Exodus chapter 2 and verse 17. The very first time in the word where it uses the word Yasha, where you get the name Yeshua from, is in this record where Moses was wandering around and he came to this well, and there were seven daughters of Jethro who were trying to feed their sheep, and some guys were preventing them from putting water in the troughs, and they were all a big mess. And so Moses comes up to this situation, right? And so this is what... So who would like to read it? Okay.
Exodus chapter 17, verse 2.
No, 2:17.
Or 2:17, right. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them, and watered their flocks.
The word helped is the first way that Yeshua, or the idea of Jesus, is translated. He's a help. He came in as a deliverer. Moses came in as a deliverer in this situation. He came in, and the daughters needed somebody else to come in to be their savior. And that's the same, that's the whole idea of the word Savior, is that in order to move from some kind of stressful or situation or a need of deliverance, it requires the help of an outside party or a Savior. We couldn't save ourselves. We were dead in trespasses and sins. How did we get life? It took someone, a person, Jesus, to move in between and work on our behalf and say, I'm going to pay the price for this. We'll take care of it. And so he became our deliverer in helping us water the flock, so to speak. I mean, you know, he came in to be our help and to give us deliverance. So now you got to go to Philippians chapter 2 just for a minute here. When you know that as the foundation, that every time you read the word Jesus, and there's hundreds of them, right? Okay, every time, think deliverer, think helper, think the one who brings me victory, think he's my savior. And he's going to change something in my life. So Philippians 2 and verse 8. Says, and he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of this, God also elevated him highly and gave him a name that is greater than all names, That's the reason he can be our helper. He's like, he's got the greatest name, so he's the greatest savior. There isn't anybody greater than him, right? Okay. Verse 10, that at the name of who?
Jesus.
Who's what? Deliverer. What else? At the name of our helper, at the name of our Savior, every knee should bow that is in heaven or on earth or that is under the earth, and every tongue should confess that our what? Deliverer, our helper, who's the anointed one, Christ, is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, there is no greater Savior in any respect. So, like Katie was saying, when we pray, we can come humbly before him, but when we use his name, we are calling on him to come into a situation and effectively change it so that we can see it and experience it right there on the spot. So when Sam was praying, he was praying that something would change, see? And that's the kind of authority that we have when we use his name. Okay, look at Hebrews chapter 10. There's another verse in Hebrews that's really neat. It's about coming boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. God tells us to come boldly to him. Not, you know, please would you do something for me here? No, it's like, help! I need a deliverer now! And I need to know what to do and how to do it. So we can come with that kind of boldness, and this is the reason why. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. We have, therefore, my brothers, boldness in the entering of the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of the Savior, and a way of life that is now made new for us by the veil that is his flesh. And we have a high priest over the house of God. Therefore, because he paid the price with his blood, he became the Savior because he paid his own blood so that we could have a way into the holiest of holies. 22, therefore we should come near with a steadfast heart and with the confidence of faith, our hearts being sprinkled and pure from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And we should persist, not give up, in the confession of our hope, and we should not waver, for he is faithful who promised us. We have the privilege of coming boldly into the throne of grace. And we can come boldly, and what that does when we come boldly is it just gives us this assurance in our heart that he's going to answer our prayers. There is nothing that he will withhold. And his whole purpose, his name, literally means Savior. So when we say and ask for something in the name of Jesus, then we are asking for him to go to bat and to completely change a situation. And because his name is the greatest name, there is no other name that is greater than his, every knee has to bow to that name. It's so much bigger than we really have in our hearts. I just wanted to have us think about that today, and maybe this whole week ahead, you know, not just take it for granted that when we pray, oh yeah, in the name of Jesus Christ, change it up. Say in the name of the deliverer, in the name of my helper, in the name of the one who wants to work on my behalf to change my situation. And remember the guy at the man who was lame at the temple gate, beautiful, and Peter and John come up to him and they see him, and he says to them, Peter says to the man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Deliverer, who's the Anointed One of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man got up because he had trust or faith in that name. Somewhere along the line, either before, after, wherever, the man had learned that there was power in that name. There's power in the name. There's power in the name. There's power in the name. It's the thing that breaks every chain. It's the thing that is our refuge. We can't deliver ourselves. We need our Savior every single day. There's a verse later. Well, you can look it up if you want. It's Acts 3:16. And this is when, you know, they're called on the carpet for healing the man. And how did he get healed? He was lame. He was sitting there. What happened to him? And so Peter says, "And by the faith of his name, he has strengthened and healed this man whom you see and know. And faith that is in him," in who? What's the faith in? Right. "Has given him this wholeness before you all." Somebody else read it in your translation.
"And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom we see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all."
Okay, now there's one more verse you've got to look at. We'll just take a few minutes here. Hebrews 12. So because of faith of the name, this man got healed. But this is why we have power in the name of Jesus too. Verse 2. "And we should look at Jesus, who is the initiator and finisher of our faith, who for the joy there was for him endured the cross and discounted the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We don't have to manufacture the faith even. He's the initiator and the finisher of faith. He's what are some of the other translations of that? Author and finisher. Some people, some other ones are the perfecter, like the beginning, right?
Founder and
perfecter. Founder and perfecter.
God's word, the one in the Bible is just,
yeah,
God's word. It says we must focus on Jesus, the source and goal.
Source and goal.
Yeah, the source and goal. So he endured death on the cross and ignored the disgrace it brought. And then he received the highest position in heaven, the one next to God.
Yeah, so if he's the beginning and the ending of it, then we don't need to try to manufacture faith inside. You look at the power that's behind the name of Jesus, just like the man who was lame, and you say, yeah, I'm taking that. And then because Jesus is the Savior, then he goes to work to bring the victory, just like Moses did at that, when he came and helped the daughters of Jethro to water their flocks. It was a simple thing to him, but to the daughters, that was not possible. So we wanted to open it up a little bit to share some things, you know, that you can think of, and we already did really at the beginning, which was awesome. But maybe we'll have time for a few more. I wanted to share an incident that happened quite a long time ago, but the reason I wanted to share it right now is because it shows that you don't have to know everything about the situation. You have to know the Savior. When I was on a mission trip in Romania, we went to a gypsy village, and there were about 5 or 6 people on the team, and there were about 100 people in the village, and a lot of them had come out to hear the music that was being played and to hear what, you know, find out what's going on here. And, you know, there was some music at the beginning, and then all of a sudden we started looking around, and there were children that were coming out, and almost every single one of the children were cross-eyed. And we started, you know, pointing it out to each other and saying, like, whoa, this is really unusual. And so the man that I was with, and we got together, and we just started praying out loud that these children would get healed. And there was really only like two translators. So the first child got healed, and their eyes just became straight instantly. And everyone just was like, what happened? What happened? You know? And so they started bringing all the children to us. And there was not enough interpreters. And we didn't know what was going on or what happened or why this was going on or what, you know, what even was the reason why the children were cross-eyed. But one after another after another after another came, and they got instantly healed. Then there was a lady, then things had broken up sort of, and there was so much rejoicing, and people were just like going and grabbing their neighbors who hadn't come out, and all these different things were going on. And I found myself like just by myself, and there was a mother who was holding a baby in her arms, and the baby was crying, continuously crying. And she hands me the baby, and I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, I'm looking around, it's like, is anybody going to interpret? You know, should I lay hands on her? What should I do? And I just started speaking out in English. Whatever God told me, I don't even remember what it was. But I know that I just spoke in English, and this lady could not understand a word of English. And the baby stopped crying. And the lady told me later through the interpreter that she had been crying incessantly for almost 6 months.
Oh my.
And that they were just frantic. They didn't know what possibly else they could do. And everybody in the village knew this. So again, it was just like this huge rise of things. So we found out later that there had been a witch that had been controlling this village, and that when we had come in and just taken such a stand and started using the name of Jesus Christ, that it broke all the power that this witch had had. And later, when we were packing up and all this stuff, that actually the lady was standing on the edge because she was furious that, you know, this was like her village, you know, and she is the one that had put the curse on the children to make them cross-eyed, and all these different things had happened in this village, and the people were powerless, you know. So we came in using the name of Jesus as that Savior, you know, as the one that could completely change the situation. From that point on, I know for a fact, because I heard later, that everyone, all those children in that village, maintained their healing. And the lady who had been in such control of it had to leave. And what happened from that even then was this one village of 100 people, they started telling the next village and the next village and the next village. And by the time we had heard about, you know, all the other things that had happened as a result of just this one incident, it was probably countless numbers of people had come to the Lord because of it. And so what it reminded me of was that I didn't know anything. I didn't know what to say. I didn't speak the language. I didn't have a way to find out, you know, well, what's wrong with your baby? You know, all those things. See, you just walk out with authority, because God gave us the right to use His name. So I just wanted to share that with you today.